You're now tuned into the HFAP Radio Podcast Show.
And Tramell, DJ King Kong, you guys should see that movie this weekend. You guys got to see the movie. It's the story of Rudy Rudiger. True story. Check this out. The guy is 5 feet tall. He doesn't have an ounce of athletic ability, and he wants to play football at Notre Dame. If you were friends with Rudy Rudiger and told him, and Rudy told you, someday my dream is to play football at Notre Dame, you know what you would have told him as his friend? You would have been like, dude, I love you. Get a new dream. And you know what Rudy Rudiger said? Oh, yeah, well, we'll just see about that. And he tries to get in, and you know what happens? Rejected. Tries a second time. Rejected. Third time? Rejected. But fourth time. You know, if you look at the movie poster for the movie Rudy, it says, when people tell you dreams don't come true, tell them about Rudy.
In the studio live with us is none other than the animator himself, Mr. Saul Blinkoff is on the HFAP Radio Podcast Show. Mr. Saul, how are you doing, sir?
I'm loving being here with you guys. You guys have such incredible positivity and energy. You have pumped me up. I'm psyched. Thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome.
Well, awesome. We definitely thank you for accepting the invitation. Like I stated before, like when you accepted the invitation, we were definitely excited and definitely were like prepared for this moment. And like I stated, I have pen and paper. Like I'm ready to hear what you have. So, Mr. Saul, again, thank you for just accepting the invitation and being here once again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, guys, for giving me the opportunity. And I thank all your listeners for tuning in. You know, I always say the most valuable thing that we have in our lives is our time. You know, doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't get more time. Cannot, you know, there's no time machine DeLorean like from Back to the Future. It's not real, you know, but our time is the most valuable thing we have. And I really appreciate you guys giving me your time and especially your listeners tuning in. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very much welcome. You're very much welcome. I want to start off with this because reading what you have done is really big. It's really big because I've
been busy, right?
Very busy. And I don't think a lot of people know exactly who you are. Like, we've seen many of the movies and many of the shows, but I don't think a lot of people really exactly know who you are. Can you just tell us some of the work that you have done thus far?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Well, most of my career has been living here in Hollywood. I live in Los Angeles. I've made my career as a filmmaker, as a Disney animator. I worked on movies, classic movies like Pocahontas and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Mulan, Tarzan, became a director, directed Winnie the Pooh, Kronk's New Groove. If you have little kids out there, you may know the show Doc McStuffins. I was a director on that show. I have a bunch of other television shows out. Right now, I'm a producer at DreamWorks on the show Madagascar, A Little Wild, which is a great preschool show, musical show. So I've been very fortunate that I've had an opportunity to make my career as an animator, director, now producer. But if I even take career, let's put animation, movies, all that fun stuff to the side. Because that's just one aspect of who I am. One of the biggest aspects of who I am is being a father. I have four kids. My youngest is 8. My oldest is 16. And being a father is just been one of the most incredible opportunities I've had in my life to grow and to find meaning. And let's take being a father and let's put that aside. I'll give you one more. I'm a husband. And being a husband is also just a huge opportunity I've had to grow. And thank God I've married my best friend. We've been married almost 20 years. Yes, I am that old. And I'm also a podcast host. This past couple months, I started a podcast called Life of Awesome. Because at the end of the day, I think people want to be awesome. Oh, there you go. Don't settle for good. Why settle for good when you can be great? And why settle for great when you can be awesome? So that's like a taste of who I am. And I try in my own small way to make a difference in people's lives. Because at the end of the day, I don't think that having a life of awesome is about what I can get. It's about how I can serve and what I can give. Just like what you guys are doing, you know, having this kind of radio podcast that you guys are doing about purpose. I mean, you guys are inspiring thousands of people out there. And I really admire the work you guys are doing, and I'm happy to be in your company. So thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Well, again, we thank you so much. And just a little bit that you stated, I can hear that you're really big about purpose and life of awesomeness. So Mr. Saul, like, what made you go into the point of realizing, we can just pinpoint about animation and things, like, what made you understand and know, like, this is exactly what I wanted to do, like, this is my purpose in life? Like, what was that decision for you to know that?
Cool, thanks Jermell, great question. Well, let me tell you how it started for me. Look, I grew up in New York. Okay, I didn't know any Hollywood people. I didn't know any filmmakers. I didn't even know that was a job. I was 11 years old, and up until then, I just loved to draw. I mean, when I was like 3, 4, like all kids, I just loved drawing all the time. And I was an artist, you know. I have an older brother, and I have a twin sister. My brother's into sports. My sister's into reading, and I was just always drawing. And then I'm 11 years old. I go to the movies. And I see a movie that changes the course of my life. I see the movie E.T. You guys have seen that movie, E.T.?
Yes.
Remember? Elliot and the bike, right? Over the moon.
Best movie of all time.
It's a good movie, right? Yeah. Great movie. So I see that movie, and I'm sitting in the theater, and I look up to the screen, and I remember tapping my mom, and I say, "Hey, Mom, that's what I want to do someday." And she was like, "What, you want to leave planet Earth in a spaceship?" I'm like, "No, I want to be a filmmaker." Like I said, guys, I didn't even know that was a job you could have. But when I looked up to the screen, it was just something I wanted to do. So I just had one problem. That's I had no idea how to do it. So I went to a building that most teenagers today have never even heard of. It's called a library. Yeah, that's right. It's before the internet. That's where you found information, right? So I went to this library, and I found books on cameras, lenses, storyboarding. I found out the director of E.T. was Steven Spielberg, and every weekend he would make movies with his like friends in the neighborhood with a video camera. So I went and got a video camera, got my sister, my older brother, and every weekend I'm making murder movies and monster movies, kidnap movies. I remember one movie, I tie my sister up to a tree like really tight. We go into the house to watch the movie. My mom's like, "I love the movie, but where's your sister?" I said, "She's still tied to the tree. What's wrong?" You know? But I knew I was going to be a director. Now the story's going to get interesting. Check this out. I'm in high school. Somebody comes up to me randomly and says to me, "What are you going to do when you get out of high school?" I said, "Well, I want to be a filmmaker." They're like, "No, you don't." I'm like, "No, yeah, I do." They're like, "No, you don't, because if you want to be a filmmaker, you're going to have to move out to Hollywood. And Hollywood is filled with weirdos." They looked at me and said, "You don't want to end up a weirdo, do you?" I said, "No, I don't." And right then and there, I gave up on my dream of wanting to be a director, because one person told me I would end up a weirdo. And, you know, it's incredible, Tramell and DJ King Kong, like, how many times in our lives people can say something to us that will change the trajectory of our lives. You know, it's not always people say something to us and they uplift us. Sometimes people can make us discouraged and feel like we can't accomplish something. They told me that was basically saying you would end up a weirdo, basically saying you're not going to be great if you end up going down this road. And I was impressionable. So I gave up on that dream. My parents said, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'll go back to being an artist." So my parents hired an art teacher to come to the house. And every week she would teach me to draw from life. And she said to me, I'll never forget, she said, "Saul, drawing is about seeing." Meaning develop your eye to see. Don't just copy, but see. You know, sometimes in life we look at people and we think we know who they are. But we don't know that everybody has a hiddenness to them. It's like you look at a tree. We took our kids a couple years back to those mirwood, like redwood trees. They go up like hundreds and hundreds of feet. They're 10 feet around. And everybody gets to these trees and they look up and they're like, "Wow, look at these trees. They're amazing." And I remember taking my kids there, and me and my wife said to our kids, "You think the trees are amazing? Do you know what the roots are doing? Because I'll tell you this, if the roots don't grow deep, that tree's gonna fall right over. And the more that a tree grows upwards, the roots have to grow down." And it's the same thing with people. Sometimes we see people, we think there's all this greatness to them. But the only way that greatness is gonna be real is if they have roots. if they have roots, if there's some values that are holding them up, because money can come and go. Jobs come and go. I've had money and I've lost money. Every single thing of value that we have in our lives, we could lose like that in the blink of an eye. Every single thing. Make a list of what's valuable. Your people in your life, what, they can't die? Of course they could die in a second. It happens every day. Your money, you could lose it. Your job, your house, it could all be gone. The one thing that is so precious to us is our values. What do I value? That's a who a person is. So I can tell you, when I saw that movie E.T., wanted to become a filmmaker, I had that spark in me. I gave up on it. They get an art teacher to come to the house, and she teaches me, Saul, drawing is about seeing. Learn how to develop your eye to really see life, to really look. So I do that. She changes my life. I remember, Tramell, I was really difficult for me to draw hands. If any of the artists are listening out there, hands are really difficult to draw. So she said to me, check out how cool this is. She's like, Saul, if hands are difficult to draw, draw your hand from a different position every single night before bed. And you know what'll happen in 6 months? You'll get better at drawing hands. She was amazing because she knew to focus on my flaw and turn it into my strength. Because in life, if we are going to be great, we need to know what our flaws are. Because once we identify our flaws, those are the answer keys to us growing. You know, I remember a quick story. I grew up in the 90s, guys. And my hero, I hope I don't offend anyone, but my hero was who I say, and I think I'm accurate here, is the greatest of all time. That's right. And it's not LeBron James. You know who it is. It's number 23, okay? It's number 23. There's nothing to talk about.
It's number 23. Oh.
It's number 23. What, you think it's LeBron over Jordan?
Oh, no. No. It's, no.
Tell me, am I right?
No, you're right.
MJ is the greatest of all time. All right, my hands down.
Look, LeBron's awesome, but MJ's MJ. You know, when MJ was playing the Portland Trail Blazers and he got food poisoning, remember the pizza story? They mentioned it on great documentary. And he still played? Come on. He was great when he was well, and he was great when he had 102 fever and throwing up like outside. I mean, amazing. So check this out. True story about MJ. He's in the NBA the first year. Sports writer comes up to him after a game and says, Michael, you're a scoring machine, but you have no defense. You know, Michael Jordan could say, dude, how much money I just played playing basketball? I'm going to listen to you. Your kid's probably wearing my Air Jordan sneakers. He's probably got the Michael Jordan wings poster over his bed. I'm going to listen to you. I'm Air Jordan. But Michael said in an interview years later, he heard one thing. Check this out. Something I'm doing is giving that guy the perception that I don't have a defensive game. I guess I better work harder on defense.
Mm.
And he did. And next year in the NBA, one player, not two, one player was named Defensive Player of the Year, number 23, Michael Jordan. Because if we're going to be great in life, any time in life where you can find out where your flaws are, you should thank God that you figured that out. Put your energy in there, and you will become 23. That's what greatness is. And you know what the ultimate flaws are? Not how well we play basketball, not how well we design technology. You know, Steve Jobs did a great job on the iPhone. But at the end of the day, if we want real greatness, it comes down to who am I? Am I working on myself? Am I working on my character? You know, let's say, look, I've worked on a lot of Disney movies. It's cool. My name's in a lot of movies. But you know what? At the end of the day, big deal. My kids are going to just stand next to a gravestone one day and know that their dad died. Just like that's what happens. And what are they going to say about me? I'm so proud of my dad. He worked on Mulan. I want them to say, you know what? I'm so proud of my dad. He worked on these Disney movies, but he tried to become a better man, a better human being, live a life of integrity. You know, wake up every day and try to serve humanity. That's at the end of the day what we have. And hopefully they'll say, you know what, my dad, he tried to be a better dad. Try to be a better father, you know? So there I was. Let me take you guys back. Let's go back.
Oh, yes.
To that art teacher. You ready? You want more of the story?
Yes.
Because I'm a movie guy, so everything to me is act one, act two, act three. We're still in act one, okay? You got time? I got more. Let's get to act two. Here we go.
Let's go.
Okay. So there I am. I find out. I get this art teacher. Then I go to the movies again. And I see another movie that changes my life. I see the movie The Little Mermaid. Remember that?
Yes.
Ariel, Under the Sea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about... Oh, you know the song. Okay, I just want to do my Sebastian impression for you. So I see The Little Mermaid. I'm watching the screen. I remember tapping my mom. I'm like, Mom, that's what I'm going to do someday. She's like, what, you want to fall in love with a fish? I'm like, no, Mom. I want to be a Disney animator. See, guys, you know what Disney animation was for me? It was combining my two passions, my love of films, my love of drawing, put them together, animation. And then I found out that Disney has a studio in Orlando, Florida. Oh, I don't have to go out to LA to become a weirdo. So there I am, junior in high school, and Saul knows exactly what he wants to do. Saul's dream is to become a Disney animator. I just had one problem. I had no idea how to do it. You know, often I meet people who are lucky enough to have clarity on the goal. You know, here you're talking about purpose, right, guys? That's what we're talking about.
Yes,
well,
sir.
A lot of times I get asked the question. I'm sure you guys have been asked this before also. Some people wake up every day. They're like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where to put my passion. I don't know where to direct my energy. Once you have that clarity and you figure it out, then you need the answer key of how to achieve it. You know, you go to a great restaurant, you taste an unbelievable dessert. You can make that dessert at home if you have the recipe. You don't have the recipe, you're not making nothing. So you know what I did? I tell my mom I want to be a Disney animator. My mom took me on a trip to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Not my brother, not my sister, just me walking around Disney World asking all the people at Disney, how can my son become a Disney animator? It was actually very embarrassing. I remember we're getting on the It's a Small World boat ride. You know, we're stepping on the boat. My mom's like, by the way, my son wants to be a Disney animator. Can you help him? To the lady there. The lady's like, man, this is a boat ride. You know, we don't hire animators here, you know? So we go through the boat ride. You know, it's a small world. I'm not going to sing any more of that because that will annoy your listeners. They'll have that song implanted in their brains the rest of the day. And they will swear at my name. I don't need that. Okay, maybe a little more. It's a small world. Okay, fine. So we get off the boat ride. We come back, the lady's like, look, if you want your son to work at Disney, he's got to go to the Disney casting building. And it was 4 minutes away from where we were in Disney World. So my mom drives me there. We get to this building. And can you imagine what a Disney office building looks like? It's beautiful. It was whimsical. I remember it had the doorknobs from the movie Alice in Wonderland. The one at the top, they were made of bronze. I open up the door. I step into this atrium. And there's gold statuettes of Mickey, Donald, Pluto, Goofy, Dumbo. Even the air in this atrium was like pixie dust, like Disney air. It was amazing. I walk up this ramp. Painted on the ceiling is Peter Pan and Wendy. There's a picture of Walt Disney on the sign. I get there. She calls me for the interview. She says, what are you doing? I'm like, I'd like to interview to be an animator. She goes, we don't hire animators here. We hire people that work the rides in the park. I was like, oh, that's not my dream. I don't want to work the rides. She goes, well, hold on a second. She walks out, comes back in 2 minutes later, hands me a piece of paper. That piece of paper became the most valuable piece of paper I have ever held in my hands. That piece of paper was a list of eight art schools that Disney recruits their artists from. She says, if you want to be a Disney animator, you need to go to one of these schools. You see, Tramiel, DJ King Kong, you know what that paper was? That was the recipe. You see, for the first time in my life, the equation was beginning. Saul plus go to one of these schools will equal dream of becoming a Disney animator. Any of your listeners listening right now, by the way, if you hear anything, you know, Tramiel said this in the beginning, guys, and he's so smart to say this. If you hear anything in this interview or any book you read or any podcast and something speaks to you, you need to pull the car over and write it down in the text so you save it. Write it down. Because just to be inspired is almost worthless because inspiration comes and goes. Inspiration slips through our fingertips. So often in life we get inspired and then the next day we're like, yeah, that was inspiring. Yeah, what'd he say? I don't know. Something about purpose? Something about life? I don't know. Want to go out for pizza? Yeah, let's go. Like, what happened to that guy yesterday that was listening to something that he was so inspired by? Unless we write it down with constant review, It's almost a waste of time. You know what I mean? So there I am. And I get that. So I'm telling your listeners, if you hear anything here that speaks to you, write it down. And here's one of the first things you want to write down. You need to find out what is the formula for how to achieve your goal. How often do I get calls from people all the time or emails? I get them every week. Someone texts me this. My dream is to do a voice in a Disney movie. How do I do it? They're lost. You know what I tell them? Go to Google, type in, how do you do a voice in a Disney movie? And there's the answer. That wasn't very hard. So often people don't make the effort to find out how. And you know what else? Here's something interesting. Just because a certain way worked for other people doesn't mean you can't come up with your own way. But at least if there's a goal you have, find out how others achieved it. Stand on their shoulders and make your own effort. So there I was. I had the piece of paper, the list of schools, and my mom takes me on a trip to all these different schools to see which would be a good fit for me. And here comes the next unbelievable moment in my life. I'll never forget the emotion of this moment. I'm walking through this one school in Columbus, Ohio. It's the Columbus College of Art and Design. And I'm looking on the walls and the most incredible artwork. And I'm telling you guys, artwork that was 100 times better than anything I could ever do. It was incredible. And I said to the guy touring me around, I'm like, wow, your seniors are so talented. He said, Saul, every piece of artwork that you see on the walls was done by our freshman class. I'm like, what? They're a year and a half older than me? And they were 100 times better than me. And you know how I felt? I was intimidated. Why would I want to go to a school where I would have been the worst one at the school? And I'm telling you guys, this is true. If I went to that school, I would have been the worst artist at the school. Why would I want to do that? Why would you want to step on a court and play in a pickup game if you know you're the worst one? Why would you want to try anything if you know you're not good at it? Here's why. Because every single person on the planet wants the exact same thing. We all want greatness. Let's just be real for a second. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to be average. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to be mediocre. If you're single out there and you're listening to this, let me tell you what kind of person you're looking to date. Not an average person. You don't want a good person. You don't want a great person. You want an awesome person. You want the greatest spouse out there. You know what kind of job you want? The greatest. You know what kind of bank account you want? The greatest. You know what kind of purpose you want? The greatest. I think Cuba Gooding Jr. said it in that movie, Jerry Maguire. He had some word. He was telling Tom Cruise. He's like, telling Tom Cruise, it's my wife, it's my life, my family, the money, the car. It's the qualm. I think that's his word. You remember that scene?
Yes.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, we all want greatness. We all want to have the best imaginable. But so often in life, we get intimidated and we feel, you know what? You know who greatness is for? It's for MJ. It's for LeBron. It's for people they make documentaries about on Netflix. I'll just be average. And that'll be fine. Because why do they not go for greatness? Because greatness takes an insane amount of effort. And because we fail in life, through life, we all fail. Everybody does. We all fail at times. But great people, when they fail, they go, you know what? I'm going to turn that failure into strength. Other people, they say, let me let failure define me. Failure does not define us. Failure is nothing more than an opportunity to learn.
That's really good.
There you go. Write that down.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
Failure is nothing more than an opportunity to learn. You ever see a toddler take their first step? I have four kids, okay? You see a toddler take their first step. They're like about 1 year old usually. They take that step. They fall on their butt. Boom, right down. You know what they do? They get right back up.
That's it.
But they can't even walk yet. And they really can't walk yet. But nothing's going to get in a toddler's way of trying to take that first step. And they get up and they take another step. And you know what happens? Boom, they fall down again and again. And then one day, they're walking. And guess what? Every one of us, or at least most of us listening, probably went through that experience where we fell and we got up again. But for some people, somewhere along the way, we told ourselves, you know what? Stay down. Stay down. But inside, we should remember we had that fire when we were little to be great. Why does it have to go away? It doesn't have to go away, you know? So there I was touring this school. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? If I would be terrible going to this school, then if I choose a school like this, I'll have to become a better artist because I'd be surrounded with people that are better than me.
Better. Mm-hmm.
And I chose the school. And thank God they chose me. So there I was in this school. This is in the 90s. It's one of the most competitive art schools in the world, Columbus College of Art and Design. And I remember I was walking the first day into different like rooms, meeting different people. And I peek into this one guy's room. And I see this guy has a Mickey Mouse bedspread. I'm like, okay, this guy's a Disney fan. I see he's got Mickey Mouse slippers. You know those like yellow big feet, like slippers they sell at Disney, right? He's got the Mickey Mouse lunchbox, Mickey Mouse telephone, Mickey Mouse everything. He had like Disney posters all over. It was Disney World in a room. This guy was like Mickey Mouse crazy. I look in the corner, he's got sketchbooks. I'm like, let's see how good he is as an artist. I pick up a sketchbook. He's not in the room. I'm looking through his stuff. And I see he's got tons of drawings of Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse playing baseball and scary Mickey and sad Mickey. And then I see another sketchbook. It says hands and feet. I'm like, ooh, hands. That's one of those things my art teacher used to have me draw. Let me see how good he is. I pick it up. I'm looking through it. And I see there's hands from all these different positions. They're four-finger white Mickey gloves. This guy is literally Mickey crazy. I turn to leave the room, and I bump into the guy whose room it is. Uh-oh. I'm busted. I look at him. I go, hey, man, what's up? He goes, how you doing? It's a true story. I'm like, I'm good. What's your name? He goes, my name's Jason, but people call me Mickey Mouse Jason. I'm like, they call you what? He goes, Mickey. I'm like, I heard you. You have a Disney nickname? He's like, what? You don't? I'm like, no, I don't. I go back to my dorm room. I get on the phone with my mom. I'm like, Mom, if I'm going to fit in art school, you better send me some Mickey Mouse slippers quick. Guys, I was surrounded by Disney people everywhere. And check this out, Tramiel. A week later, a Disney representative comes from the Walt Disney Studios to our school to give a presentation telling us all what Disney's looking for. And the guy gets up on this stage and he looks out to 750 students, every freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. He looks out to us and he says, how many of you want to be Disney animators someday? And I'm getting goosebumps now. I remember the emotion of it. This is the first time I saw the whole school in one area to see how big it was. And I look around the room and every hand went up. 750 people. He looks out and he says, out of the 750 of you, out of the 750 of you, maybe, just maybe, four of you will ever work there. That's how competitive it is. And when he said that, I thought one thing. I wonder who the other three are going to be. Because in life, we either believe in ourselves that we can accomplish or we don't. I don't mean what we tell people on Facebook and Instagram. I mean deep down. When we look in the mirror, do we really believe? Do we really believe in ourselves? And I'll tell you, Tramiel, at that point in my life, I really believed in myself. I had very supportive parents, great friends that encouraged me. And I believed in myself. And then the guy from Disney says, if you want to be a Disney animator, here's what you need. I'm on the edge of my seat listening. Because, I mean, can you imagine? I'm sitting in a room and the guy from Disney, by the way, this guy was an old guy. He was in his 70s. He was one of the original animators on Sleeping Beauty. He used to hang out with Walt Disney. I got freaking Walt Disney here himself. Telling me what you need.
He's basically giving you the roadmap to where you want to go.
That's it. He's giving me the instruction manual. You want it? Do this. Here's what he says. You need a portfolio, 25 pages of figure drawing and anatomy, drawings of humans and animals drawn from life. He says, we don't want to see any cartoon characters, and especially, he says, no drawings of Mickey Mouse. I remember looking back row and I see that Mickey Mouse Jason guy back there and you see him like slouch in his chair. He's like, oh boy, you know, but to me, that equation I was talking about, that recipe, it always builds. You see, first it was Saul plus go to one of these eight schools will equal dream of becoming a Disney animator. Now it's Saul plus a portfolio, 25 pages of figure drawing and anatomy will equal Disney animator. whenever we have a goal, constantly learn how to build the recipe, learn the how even more to help us have laser focus to accomplish a goal.
That's it.
So he says, if you want to get to Disney, you got to get the internship. No internship, no Disney. So check this out. I go to figure drawing class the next day, and I was pumped. I'm sitting in figure drawing class the next day, and figure drawing class is you have a nude model in front of you, 30 or 40 students in a circle around. Day one, I'm sharpening my pencil. I had my music. I was probably listening to Run DMC, Tougher Than Leather album. This is some old school Run DMC. You know, Run's House, Mary Mary, some old school stuff, because that would put me in my zone. I would tune out the world, right? We have, say what? A whole lot of superstars on this stage here tonight. And I want you all to know, and it just gets me in my zone. Model comes in, and I'm drawing my house. This is before your time. You guys know this album at all?
I know the song, actually.
I don't know the Adam.
Okay, you guys go check out Tougher Than Leather. Incredible, incredible album. This is like right after Peter Piper and other great, and Tricky, right after that. Just a great album. Anyway, so I'm in figure drawing class, drawing. And I remember that first week, I went to a couple of parties because you want to meet people. And I get to this one party, and everyone's drinking, right? It's apple juice, okay? In case any kids are listening, that's what they were drinking, okay? They were very, very, very thirsty in Ohio. Okay, they were very thirsty because I never saw so much apple juice being drunk, okay? And I see, this is true, I see this one girl has a funnel, beer bong, you know what I'm talking about? Old school, don't admit, Tramell, I know you've been there, DJ King, he's drinking it right now, okay?
He's drinking right now.
So he's drinking his 40 right now. So watch this. There's a funnel. This is a true story. You can't make this up, guys. We're in Act 2 right now. So hold on to your seats. This girl has a funnel. She's drinking beer. And I see in the corner, there's a guy doing drawings of her drinking out of a funnel. So I go over to this guy. I'm like, what are you drawing that for? What class is this for? He says, it's not for a class. I said, so why are you drawing that? He says, because I want to get better. His name was Andy. He was the best artist in the school as a freshman. You know why? Because the guy never put his sketchbook down for a second. He became my best friend. And I can tell you, just hanging out with a guy like this made me a better artist. Because, and here we go, get ready people to write down this, because you don't want to lose this one. Who we choose to hang out with affects who we become.
Mr. Oh my goodness, it's crazy that you just stated that, because I literally just posted something on Facebook and Instagram stating the people, if you wherever you want to be at in life or in purpose, you have to be amongst those who are already in that position. And so it's crazy that you literally just stated that, basically, because if you see yourself,
true,
like you stated, you saw yourself as an animator, and the only way you could be in that position is seeing somebody else that may be a little bit better than you, or somebody that's already in that position. So that's crazy that you just stated that, actually.
Yeah, and let me tell you what was amazing about this guy. See, Tramell, God runs the world. Everything's out there for us. The fact that we're both sharing that idea, we're in sync here, you know, there's people listening right now, and you know what? We know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to hear this and go, I don't believe it. You know it's true. Think about when you were a little kid growing up. And your parents are like, don't hang out with this guy, or you should hang out with this person, because they don't want those person's values to rub off on us. And I can tell you, just hanging out with this guy, Andy, made me a better artist. I remember walking through the dorm rooms at times, and there was this group of students hanging out in the lobby, smoking pot, blowing off their homework. I can assure you, none of them ever achieved their dreams of becoming Disney animators. Andy drew nonstop. He had discipline. And here's what discipline means. Discipline means you draw whether you feel like it or not. You know why Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan? Because the guy took 750 jump shots every single day before breakfast. What's his name? Who's the big motivational speaker? What's his name? Who's the guru? Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins on an interview a couple weeks ago. I heard him on an interview. He's like, I wake up every morning and I dunk my body in frigid ice water every single morning. And you know what? And we all hear that. We're like, wow, Tony Robbins, man. He must have like strength. And you know what he said? This is so beautiful, so powerful. He goes, guess what? Every morning I wake up, the last thing I want to do is jump in frigid cold water. He's like, I don't look forward to it, but I do it anyway. Mm-hmm. You see, every one of us is a body and a soul, right? The body wants to sleep. The body wants to eat. You know what the soul wants? To connect with the infinite. The soul wants to change the world. And we all have this duality, this fight going on at every moment. Don't live the body. Live the soul. That's another line to write down. Don't live the body. Live the soul. The body wants to hit that snooze button, sleep another 10 minutes. You know why? You know why we don't want to get out of bed in the morning? Because it's hard to be alive. Life's hard. Relationships are hard. Career's hard. And I don't care how successful somebody is. You could have $5 million in your bank account. You could lose it like that, and that's a pressure, and you don't want to get out of bed. But you know who makes, you know what a great attitude to start your day is? Start your day, jump out of bed, and start your day like a lion. Like a lion. Because if you start your day like a lion, then every challenge you have that day will be like a lamb chop.
Yes, you can face it.
You gotta roar when you wake up. I'm going to do it. That's what Tony Robbins is telling us. He's like, I know you want to stay in bed more. I know life is hard, but get up anyway. And that's the discipline that I learned from my buddy Andy. Andy was disciplined, and it changed my thinking. So there I was, drawing all the time. Sophomore year, I get my portfolio together, my best drawings. I put them in a black leather portfolio case, and I send them into Disney. And I waited. A couple weeks go by. Look, I didn't expect to get in, Tramell. I was just a sophomore. I just wanted to go through the process. I know how competitive it is. I send the portfolio in, and I wait. A couple weeks go by. I get a letter one day. On Disney stationery, it has a gold leaf Mickey Mouse imprinted on that envelope. My name is typed on the front. Like, wow, the Disney company knows I'm alive. They wrote my name here. They typed my name. That's so cool. I open up the envelope. It says, Saul, thanks for sending in your portfolio. Unfortunately, you didn't make it. Okay, I was rejected. Look, I didn't expect to get in, like I said. I took that letter. I put it up over my desk. I'm like, that's going to be inspiration for me. Another year goes by. And me and Andy draw nonstop together. We go play basketball together. And when we weren't playing basketball, we would draw people playing basketball. We drew nonstop. I remember one time we went to the Columbus Zoo. Any of you listening grow up in a place that's cold, you know what I'm talking about, bitter cold, freezing. So Ohio in the winter, it's like Chicago, it's freezing. So one day, like 15 of us, a class with the professor, we go to the Columbus Zoo to draw animals. So when you guys are watching a Disney movie like Lion King, how do you think people know how to, how do you think animators know how to draw elephants? They don't just wake up one day and know how to draw an animal. You got to sit with anatomy books for hours and hours and weeks. Then you got to go to the zoo and you got to draw animals and look at the anatomy and the structure of the trunk and the ears and how they pose and move. It's a huge amount of work. So we go to the zoo with the goal of drawing animals. And it's a freezing day. We get to the zoo, we go into this cafe. And it's beautiful in there. We get warm drinks, and the guys are flirting with the girls. The girls are flirting with the guys. Everyone's having a good time. After about 2 minutes, Andy and I go outside, and we see an elephant walking back and forth, and we draw him for like the next hour. And it's so cool when you're studying animation to see an animal repeat a movement, because you can just see it back and forth and over, and you can see how each drawing fits into a sequence. Very cool experience. So we do all these drawings of these elephants. We go back on the bus. Afterwards, we're showing each other the drawing. Hey, I did this. What'd you do? And then I say to some of the kids next to us, the other students, I'm like, hey, where's the elephants you drew? And they're like, we didn't draw any. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, we never went outside. I'm like, you never left the cafe? Why not? This guy looks up to me and he says, I couldn't leave because it was too cold. Oh, you mean it was cold, a little painful out there. Now, if you would ask this guy on the way to the zoo, is your dream to become a Disney animator? We're like, yeah, of course it's my dream. I got the Mickey Mouse sweatshirt. Yeah, I love Disney. I listen to the Disney music. Of course it's my dream. Then why was your butt not out there drawing elephants?
Wow.
Because it was too cold. You see, so often in life, we want to achieve something great. Mm-hmm. Excuses, exactly. But it gets a little painful, a little difficult, and I'm out. In order to achieve greatness, we must get out of our comfort zones.
That's good.
Not only do we have to get out of our comfort zones, we need to have expectations that there's going to be pain. You know, let's look at relationships for a minute. The divorce rate in LA right now is over 50%. I think it's like 55%. That means more than half the people getting married next year, they're going to divorce. Why does that happen? What's lacking in the foundation? You know, I live in Hollywood, and I always say they don't get married in Hollywood. You know what they do? They try it out. It's like a new restaurant to them. They get married for like a year, then they're out. Look, divorce is definitely the answer sometimes. There are times when people grow apart. My parents were divorced growing up. There's definitely a time when that's a good thing. But at the end of the day, wouldn't it be great to have the expectations before we get married that marriage is going to be difficult? It's not like a Disney movie where you get, you know, you go off to the sunset. I heard this beautiful quote once. He says, we're not human beings, we're human becomings. We want to grow and evolve. And if we have the right expectations that it shouldn't be called, listen to how beautiful this is, it shouldn't be called falling in love. Because falling takes no work. It should be called climbing in love. Because climbing in love is reality. I'm married 20 years to my best friend. We have a great marriage. You know why? Because we climb at it. Because we put in the effort. We put in the work. And in anything in life, if we have the expectations that something's going to be difficult, it empowers us and energizes us to achieve it.
Yes, to keep
going. And guess what? To keep going. And there were only two guys that day that drew elephants, me and Andy. Every other person stayed in that cafe. I will never forget it. So here, Andy and I get our drawings together. We get the black leather portfolio cases, and we send in our drawings. And at this point, Tramell, everybody knew if there's two people that are going to get into Disney, it's going to be Saul and Andy, because these guys never stopped. So we send our portfolios in, and we wait. I go home. It was Christmas break. I remember going home. I'm in New York. I get a call, and it's Andy. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, Blinkoff, did you hear? I'm like, no, did you? He goes, yeah. I go, what'd you hear? He goes, I got it. I said, you got what? He goes, I got the internship. I'm like, you got it, man. That's incredible. Congratulations. I couldn't believe I knew someone that got in. He's like, but you didn't hear? I'm like, no, but they could be trying to call me right now. I don't have call waiting. I got to hang up. So I hang up on him. And I'm pacing back and forth in the dining room. My mom comes in at that moment. And she's like, honey, what? I'm like, Mom, Andy just got a call. She's like, oh, they're going to call any minute. We're both pacing in the dining room. The phone's not ringing. So you know what I do? I pick up the phone and I dial the head of Disney myself. Who does that? Well, I did. And you know why? Because when there's something you want in your life, you will do anything to get it. Right? That's begging to write that down. And underline the word anything. Here it is again. When there's something you want in your life,
that's good.
You will do what? Anything.
That is good.
To get it. Anything. You ever see that Denzel Washington movie where his son has a disease and he's dying and he wants to get his son a transplant of some kind? I don't remember what it was. Remember what he went through for his son? I think it was John something Q. I don't remember. Incredible movie.
John Q.
Wasn't John Q, right?
Yeah.
But you know what's so amazing? Look, I'm not making a judgment whether he did the right or wrong thing. All I'm pointing out is when you have clarity that you want to accomplish something, there's no can't. You do whatever it takes. You know, when I was growing up, I told you guys my love of Michael, MJ. I was about 12 years old. I went to Madison Square Garden. I'm watching the Knicks about to get destroyed by MJ because he always killed my boys. He always killed Mark Jackson and Gerald Wilkins and Trent Tucker, Johnny. What was his last name? I don't remember. Don't tell him. Johnny Newman. Yeah, Johnny Newman. All these Patrick Ewing, Rick Pitino years. This
Patrick
late
Ewing.
That's Patrick all Ewing.
33. So one game before the game, I'm standing next to the court. True story. And MJ is in the middle of the court. He's got those breakaway pants with the buttons, right? And he's like warming up. He's chewing his gum. He had this game face, this focus on his face. Everyone's like goofing around. He's just like chewing his gum, game face, focus. I said to my older brother who's standing next to him, I'm like, Jay, I'm gonna go out there and meet Michael. He's like, you're not going there. Before he could finish that line, I was standing in the middle of the court in Madison Square Garden, looking up to Michael Jordan. And I looked up to him and I said, hi, Mr. Jordan. And he looked down at me and said, quote, yo, how you doing? end quote, and shook my hand, which I've never washed. DJ King Kong, this hand is never washed. It's got MJ sweat on it. We can shake later. It's real. And you know why I walked out there? Because when there's something you want in your life, you will do what?
You'll do whatever it takes to get it. Anything.
Anything. You do whatever it takes. So I called up Dad at Disney. I'm like, hi, my name is Saul Blinkoff. I want to find out about the internship. And the guy on the phone is like, oh, Saul, I have your name on a list here. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he didn't make it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, he didn't make it.
Wow.
I'm like, what? He goes, you were rejected. I go, well, what about Andy? He goes, yeah, he made it. You did. I was like, oh, all right, thanks. And I hang up the phone. And that was a bittersweet moment in my life. Look, it was sweet because I was very happy for my best friend, but bitter because my dreams were shattered. I was in shock. You know where Andy's going? To Disney World. You know what they call Disney World? They call it the happiest place on what a great place to call your company, right? Disney's basically telling all of us, don't think you can be happy wherever you're living, but if you want to be happiest, the only place you can do that is Disney World. So Andy's going to sunny, beautiful Disney World, happiest place on earth. I'm going back to Ohio in the wintertime. Gray skies, bitter cold, what I thought was the most depressing place on earth. And when I get back to school, everyone's walking up to me like, hey, Blinkoff, what are you doing here? Oh, you didn't get in. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, where's your buddy Andy? Oh, he got in. You didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I became known as the guy that didn't get what he really, really wanted. And I felt like a loser. And then I came up with the most incredible tool to take that feeling away. And by the way, everyone who's listening right now, everything you've heard up until now, you can forget all of it. Forget all of it, because what I'm about to tell you is more important than any of that. Listen carefully. And if you're driving your car, just pull it over and listen, because you don't want to get into an accident when you hear this one. Listen carefully. If you ever in your life feel like a loser because you didn't accomplish what you wanted, if you ever feel like you're known as the person that didn't get what he really, really wanted, do what I did, and that feeling goes away like that. You know what I did? I gave up. I gave up on the entire dream because reality set in. And reality was Andy was an awesome artist and I was just a guy that really wanted it and worked hard. I was average. Andy was awesome. Just think about like people that did golfing in the same school as Tiger Woods. What that must have been like. There's Tiger and there's you. That's how I felt next to Andy. You know, there's a great documentary made in the late 70s. It's the story of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's all amazing about how incredible he was and hardworking. But the most heartfelt part of the story is you're seeing the perspective of this one guy who's always the number two. Lou Ferrigno, who actually became famous in his own right. He was the actor who played the Incredible Hulk on this TV show in the 70s. But you never heard of him, have you? No. You heard of Schwarzenegger, haven't you? Yeah. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Right? Only Scottie Pippen can say that being number two doesn't mean you're not great. Because Scottie was great. Right? He just picked the team.
Yes, he was.
But Scottie was great. And Scottie would have been number one on any other team. He was awesome. But the point I make is that so often in life, we look around us and we see greatness in other people. And for some people, it makes us feel like, you know, it reminds us that we're not great. And then I gave up on the entire dream. And I told you guys how when that guy from Disney came and he stood on that stage, he's like, four of you will ever work there. And I thought, who are the other three? And now I took myself out of the whole game and I gave up. And I'm telling you guys right now, as motivated as I was and as hardworking, and I braved the frigid cold that day in Ohio drawing elephants, I threw it all away because reality set in that I'm just going to settle for average. And then God runs the world. Here's what he does. A week later, a buddy calls me up and says, Saul, I got tickets to go see a movie. You want to go? I'm like, I'm not in the mood. He's like, but they're free. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go. When someone offers you free in college, you basically take it.
You should
it,
go.
Right?
Take it.
So I go to the movies, and I'm watching this movie, and at the end of the movie, tears are streaming down my face. I'm crying watching this movie. This movie is a true story. about a guy who's 5 feet tall. He doesn't have an ounce of athletic ability, and he wants to play football at Notre Dame. What movie?
Oh, my God. Because I just literally just watched your video with him, because you actually just had the opportunity. You had, in that video, you actually had the opportunity of meeting him. And it was definitely like a great surprise for you. I can't, I know his name starts with an R.
It's right. His name is Rudy.
There it is.
There it is. And Tramell, DJ King Kong, you guys should see that movie this weekend. You guys got to see the movie. It's the story of Rudy Rudiger. True story. Check this out. The guy is 5 feet tall. He doesn't have an ounce of athletic ability, and he wants to play football at Notre Dame. If you were friends with Rudy Rudiger and told him, and Rudy told you, someday my dream is to play football at Notre Dame, you know what you would have told him as his friend? You would have been like, dude, I love you. Get a new dream. And you know what Rudy Rudiger said? Oh, yeah, well, we'll just see about that. And he tries to get in, and you know what happens? Rejected. Tries a second time. Rejected. Third time? Rejected. But fourth time. You know, if you look at the movie poster for the movie Rudy, it says, when people tell you dreams don't come true, tell them about Rudy. He gets into Notre Dame, and tears are streaming down my face because I'm thinking one thing. If an unathletic guy could get into Notre Dame with an insane amount of heart and hard work, then an untalented artist like me could get into Disney the same. And I decided right then and there I would never give up again. And you know what I did? I called up the head of Disney the next day. I get this guy on the phone, the same guy. And I go, hi, this is Saul Blinko. He's like, oh, Saul, I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you didn't get in. Yeah, I'm like, I know. Let me ask you a question. How close was I? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, how close was I? He's like, well, we picked 17 from thousands and thousands of portfolios around the world. You made it to number 20. What? I missed it by three. Do you know how many times in life we could be so close to achieving what we want, but we feel that we're miles and miles away? And all we needed to do was just push a little bit more. Bit more. And then I was about to hang up the phone with him, and I asked him another question. How come I got rejected? What was missing in my work? You see, guys, there's going to be times in life that we fail. You know why? Because we're human. And when we fail, beg the person that failed you to find out why. Because if you find out why.
I love you took the initiative. I love that you took the initiative of actually asking, like, what were the failures? Like, why didn't I make it? Like, what? Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't actually take the initiative of actually taking the risk or taking the jump of actually asking the employer or, you know, or saying, you know, why didn't I get the job or why didn't I get this position or this? And it makes them to the point of, like you said, you want to give up, but it's because you're actually really inspiring me because of just stating the fact that this is actually a relaunch of what we're doing here. And so with this, it was a trial and error. And so where we are now is taking it to another level because, you know, there have probably been people that said, you know, you can't do this or this won't do this or this won't go in this direction. So I believe like you're really hitting it to the nail for somebody that's out there that's saying, you know, wow, I wish I would have asked those questions, or I'm glad that somebody like you, Mr. Saul, that's giving us these nuggets, these tools of saying, no, if I'm actually in this position again, I know exactly what I can do or what to say.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly it. And you know, what most people do when they get rejected, they blame the other person.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, you know, people fail at something, get rejected, you know, or something, they don't get a promotion at work or whatever. They come home, they tell their spouse or their friends. Yeah, and then they think that my boss doesn't know anything. It's easier to blame them than to accept the fact that maybe I need to work on myself a little bit. You know, maybe I need to work on myself. And by the way, true friends are the ones that tell us, not pat us on the back and tell us that everything we do is great. Sometimes a real friend is the one that tells you, you know what? You need to grow up a bit. You need to work harder. You need to be more disciplined. I thought you were my friend. You're going to talk to me? I am your friend. I'm trying to help you grow, man. Because why else have a friend? Just so you have a good time on a Saturday night? No. Everything in life is there to help us grow as a human being. Every experience we have is there to help us grow as a human being. So then I said to him, why did I get rejected? He's like, you need more perspective in your figure drawing. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, instead of drawing the model wherever you're standing or sitting, stand up higher. stand on a stool and draw the model looking down, or go down low and look up. Give me a dynamic perspective. And I'm like, answer key. That's awesome. So I go to figure drawing class the next day, and I get this big wooden box. It's like 4 feet up. And I move it next to the model in the middle of the room. Remember, all the students are in a circle, okay? Picture like 30 students in a circle, and this nude model is in the middle of the room. I take this big wooden box, like drawer set, stand like 5 feet up, and then my head, I'm 6'3 and a half, so I'm like, I'm up there, right? And I'm looking down at this model drawing, and I remember some guys in the back of the room going, look at the dork standing up on the box, laughing at me. Did I care what they think? The head of Disney just told me to basically stand on a box and draw from a dynamic perspective. That's exactly what I'm gonna do. So often in life, we get so intimidated and we doubt ourselves because we value what other people think before our own.
That's good.
In life, don't let anyone define how you feel about yourself. Boom, write that down, people.
Mr.
Don't
Salt,
let
oh
anyone define how you feel about you.
That right there deserves
right,
a hand clap.
Right. Yes,
that
sir,
deserves
yes,
a
sir.
Hand clap.
Don't let anyone define how you feel about yourself. Who cares what they think about me? They can call me a loser,
right?
Geek. I don't care, because I got the answer key to growing. I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to draw that model. And I did, and I went to the zoo, and I remember going to the zoo, and I told the zoo, I got to draw from a higher perspective. They're like, why don't you come to us in the back? We're going to feed the giraffes. So I go in the back, and I stand up on the scaffolding, and I'm looking down at a giraffe. How cool is that? How many times in life do you get to see a giraffe from above? Not very often. So I did drawings of a giraffe, because I asked the people at the zoo, can I come back there? And they're like, sure, come back there. Most people would be like, oh, but I don't know anybody. I don't, what are they going to think? Who cares? Just talk to them. They're human beings. Of course they want to help you. They loved it. They brought me back there. I did drawings of a giraffe. I took that portfolio. I got it together. And I was about to send it into Disney. Except Disney made a new rule. Check this out. And we're getting towards the end of the story. So all your listeners, stay with me. We're getting to act three. Okay. Are you guys with me? Mel, you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then also, you guys, if you're
with me,
make sure if you're still listening, make sure you're sharing the live video. Make sure you're commenting. Mr. Saul is really giving us some nuggets. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the HFAP Radio Podcast. We have Mr. Saul Blinkoff, who is our guest, who's giving us Act 3. Mr. Saul Blinkoff, you may continue, sir.
Here we go. Here comes Act 3.
Yes, sir.
All right. So check this out. I find out that Disney is not going to allow people to send their portfolios in anymore. They have a new system. What's the system? Beauty and the Beast was just nominated for an Oscar. So they were getting flooded with portfolios around the world. The competition was escalated tons. So they said, we're going to send a Disney representative from the Disney studios to each of these schools. And the students who are the best in the schools will, and if the Disney representative will take the portfolio, he will send it to Florida to the studio for further review. So the guy comes to our school, the same guy that was on the stage in the beginning, that guy who was in his 70s, the original animator on Sleeping Beauty. And I get called into his office that he was using at the time. And I was chosen as one of like 8 students to show their portfolios to Disney. And wow, that was a scary moment. He's looking through my portfolio. And up until then, you know who loved my artwork? My mom. My mom would always be like, my son is so talented. He's so good. My son. How many times
ain't
do people
like
look
mama
for the recognition, right? She's a good mama, right?
Yes.
Ain't nothing like mama.
Nothing like mama, right? Nothing like mama. Yeah, she was supporting me, loving me, telling me I could do anything, telling me I could change the world. But now I got Bill Matthews. That was his name. Bill Matthews is going through my portfolio. And he's looking through the portfolio and he goes, Saul, my boy. That's how he talks. Saul, my boy, I like your drawings. I'd like to send these to Florida for further review. Would you like that? I'm like, would I like that? Yeah, I would like that. I hand him the portfolio, and as I hand it to him, I don't let go. This is true. I'm clutched on the portfolio, and so is he, and I'm in a tug of war with a 75-year-old. He's like, Saul, my boy, what are you doing? He yanked it out of his hands. This is true. You cannot make this up, Tramiel. This is real life, man. This is my life. I pull it out of his hands, and I go, let me ask you a question. Where are you going after this school? He's like, well, I'm going to that school. I'm going to another school. I go, so when do you actually need the portfolio in Florida? He's like, not for 2 more weeks. Why? I said, because any drawing that I do tomorrow has to be better than every drawing that's in this book. And if you give me 2 more weeks, I can do better work. You see, of course in life, when we fail, we need to find out why. But even when we succeed and we get the answer we want, we got to push ourselves to know that we could be better. I guarantee when Steve Jobs finished creating the first iPhone, he probably had his group of people around him and said, congratulations. Here, let's do a cheers. Let's drink a little champagne. Now, come in tomorrow and tell me how we're going to make it better. And you know what I did? I said to Bill Matthews, Bill, tell me what I can do to make my work better. He's like, Saul, I told you, I like your portfolio. I'm going to say, I'm like, I know, but I'm not perfect. What can I do to make it better? Artists from around the world, what I can do to improve. He says, okay, put more effects in your portfolio. I'm like, what's that? So when you guys are watching a movie that, like Lion King, and it's raining, there's fire, water, and smoke, that's a division of Disney animators called effects animators. He goes, you should put some of that in your portfolio. It'll round you out. I'm like, thank you, answer key. I go back to my dorm room. I set up a pot with water, and I'm watching the drips and the ripples, and I'm doing drawings of water and drops. I set up a candle, and I lit it, and I'm watching the way that that flame dances on that wick. I did drawings of that. And then you know what I did? Check this out, Tramiel. This is going to blow you away. Are you ready? DJ King Kong, are you ready? I take I take the entire portfolio of all these hundreds of drawings that I had done throughout my years, and I put it under my bed. And I said, it doesn't exist. I'm not sending any of those drawings to Disney. None of them. Not even one. You know why? Because this is what I didn't want. I didn't want him to get the portfolio 2 weeks later and go, oh, Saul, I remember him. Nice guy from Ohio. Hey, I remember that drawing. I remember all these drawings. Oh, look, he did the effects drawings I asked for. That's not what I wanted to happen, because that's what he was expecting to happen. To happen was to create an entirely new portfolio, so that when he gets the portfolio, he opens it up. He's like, oh, Saul, my boy, I remember him. Wait, I never saw that drawing. I never saw that. He did a whole new portfolio. Exactly.
Something different.
Because in life, and here comes 2 words to write down, people. Here comes nugget number 23. I'm going to say 23. Here it goes. Nugget number 23 is exceed expectations. Boom. That's it. They want you there at 8 o'clock. You better pull up at 7:50.
Yep.
They want you to stay till 8. You're there till 8:10. They want you to do 5 problems. You do 6. By the way, it goes for everything in life. It goes for marriage. My wife can be like, honey, could you go pick up something at the supermarket for me? Sure, honey, I'll go out there. I go to the supermarket. I come back. I'm about to pull into my home. I'm like, you know what? Let me stop at the dry cleaners. Maybe they got something there for her. I walk into my home. I give her the thing she wanted from the supermarket. She's like, thank you, honey. I'm like, oh, that's not it. Showtime. Pick up the dry cleaning. You know what that is? Exceed expectations. You know what that does? That tells my wife, I love you. I care about you. This relationship matters to me.
That's it.
That's how you build. So I took this portfolio, put it under my bed. I created an entirely new portfolio, and I sent the entirely new portfolio. Was it hard? Oh, yeah, it was hard. You know, the other thing that we do in life is we achieve something, we feel good about it, and we allow that to define us.
Right.
Every drawing that I did was not to finish a beautiful drawing and put it in a frame. It was to learn. Every drawing was to get to the next drawing. To get to the next drawing. That's it. You know, Tom Brady was interviewed after Super Bowl a couple years ago. They go, what do you do after you win the Super Bowl? He's like, I think one thing. What? You going to Disneyland? He's like, no. How can I be better for next season? Because a person that's motivated to grow, you never get to the top of it. It's ongoing. Constantly. And even if you get the world to tell you you've accomplished something, and you get that A on your test, you get that promotion, whatever it is, don't look to others to make you feel satiated with your own personal growth.
That's good.
We need to come up with a way to motivate ourselves, because we should never be satiated, because like I said earlier, we're not human beings. We're human becomings.
That's good.
We gotta grow. You gotta grow. As soon as you stop growing, you're dead. You're dead. I send that portfolio in, and I call a couple weeks later. It's Buddy Andy on the phone. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, blink off. You're not going to believe this. I'm like, what am I not going to believe? He's like, they built a brand new wing for the new animators coming in, like on the studio. He goes, you deserve to be there. I'm like, thank man. He's like, you know what else they did? I'm like, what? He goes, they built a basketball court just for the animators. You love playing basketball. You deserve to play on that court. I'm like, I think you're right. I do deserve to play on that court. He's like, but there is one more thing. I'm like, what? He goes, they put up a list of the next interns. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you're on the list. I'm like, what? He goes, dude, you did it. I'm like, what? He goes, you did it. I'm like, thank you. He's like, what are you thanking me
yes,
for?
Sir.
You
did it. Yes, sir.
I go over
yes,
to my sir, tape man. Player, right? Go over to my tape player. Your listeners don't know where tapes are. They play music, okay? And at the top of my lungs, I'm singing, it's the circle of life and it moves us right. I'm like flipping out. My dreams came true. I call my mom. I remember calling my mom. Imagine how fast I dialed that phone. She could hear it in my voice. She's like, honey, did you do it? I'm like, no, mom. We did it.
That's, oh, wow.
She's like, what yeah. do you mean? She's like, I'm like, mom, remember you took me to Disney World? You took me to this art school? You took me here? All the support you gave me, mom, we did this together.
Together, yes.
Go listen to Tupac's song about his mom. Go listen to that song. Go listen dear to mama. That song about dear mama. Go dear check mama. It out. All the food she made Thanksgiving. She was there when he screwed up. She was there for him. He would not have been able to reach the greatness that he did to deliver those messages he delivered without her nurturing his foundation.
Yes.
And so often in life, we're surrounded by teachers and mentors. Anybody who comes around and mentors us and uplifts us, you know what we need to do?
Clean.
You need to thank them.
Yes.
You need to yes. thank them.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes,
LL
right.
did. LL did it to his grandmother in a song. LL wrote a song for his grandmother. It's the greatest song. I love it. I don't remember the name of it, but it's great. Anyway, you've got to thank people. You've got to thank mentor teachers all the time. I said to my mom, "Mom, thank you. Guess what? You can be in New York this winter because I'm going to the happiest place on earth, and I end up at Disney World." And my dreams just grew. Struggles were there. I worked really hard to become on the internship. I got hired on the movie Pocahontas and then started my career. And I think the message I want to leave with your audience is, you know, if you've heard this story and you're inspired, I'm happy. Only if you take the inspiration and turn yes. it into action.
Yes.
And listen really carefully. This is the
yes,
final
sir.
Point
yes,
I want
sir.
To give you. I want to drop two more points. Number one, as we approach listening to any wisdom of any kind in life, it's a book, a speaker, a podcast, like I was saying earlier, the goal shouldn't be to hear wisdom that will validate how I already live my life. The approach I have to have in learning anything is that I hope it will actually affect the way I see the world so I can actually affect how I live. Turn it into action. If we don't change what we do, it's a waste of time. Waste of time. Gave you guys a lot of tools today, your listeners. Lots of tools about getting clarity and to discipline and surrounding yourself. We have to change our lives. And by the way, the reason I share all these ideas with you, because I need to hear them again also.
Yes.
Because we all need mm-hmm. to hear it. We need to review it. I need to hear it again. When I'm off this call, I'm going to be pumped up. I'm like, how can I work on my marriage more? How can I become a better dad? How can I be more successful at life? But I want to leave you
right,
with one
right.
final idea. And here's the final idea. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. A lot of people in life are like, Saul, you know, I hear your story and you're passionate and you worked hard, but I don't know what to work hard at. I don't know what's my dream. I don't know what to work hard at. So at the end of the day, I think that the greatest thing we can aspire to do in life is not to be happy. Most people will tell you the goal of life is to be happy. Everyone will tell you that. What do you want? I want to be happy. But the truth is, at the end of the day, what makes you happy may not ultimately be what's good for you.
Mm.
There are people who mm-hmm. do things that aren't right, that, you know, do things that are bad, and it makes them happy. Goal can't be to be happy. You know who wants to be happy? My children. They wake up every day like, what can I have for dinner? What can I buy at Target? Me. The goal of life is to search for something much more profound than happiness. And that is a life of meaning. And meaning comes from one thing, taking responsibility for the world. You know, the movie Lion King was the biggest animated movie of all time. Not because we love movies about lions, but because Simba learns a great lesson. He thinks yes. being a king is I can do whatever I want. He sings a song about it.
Right.
I just can't wait to be, king. And Mufasa says to him in the beginning, Simba, there's more to being a king than getting your way all the time. And Simba's like, there's more? He thinks that's all life is about. I can do whatever I want. And then, spoiler alert, daddy dies. Hopefully you guys have all seen the movie by now. It's been like 30 years. Hopefully I didn't spoil anything for you. But even if you haven't seen the movie, it's a Disney movie, so the parent always dies in the beginning, right? Like Bambi's mother dies, right? Aladdin has no mother. Little Mermaid has no mother. Belle has no mother. What's wrong? Where's all the mothers?
What's going on? What's going on?
Where's the mamas? That's what I want to know. So what happens? Simba goes off into Hakuna Matata world. Remember the song? Hakuna Matata, right? What a wonderful phrase. There you go. DJ King Kong dropping Hakuna Matata. I love it. You know, one of my kids always says to me, Dad, when you tell your story, you're not going to sing, are you? I'm like, why? Would that embarrass you, honey? My teenagers are like, yeah, that would embarrass. I'm like, good, I'm definitely going to sing. Because I always say, if you're a dad and you haven't embarrassed your teenager, you're not doing a good job. So
right.
He goes to Hakuna Matata world. He goes off there. Hakuna Matata basically means no responsibility. I can do whatever I want. He's hanging around on a hammock, just lounging around. Who shows up midway in the movie? Who finds him? Do you guys remember? What's up?
Timon and Pumbaa.
Timon
and Pumbaa, right? And after they show up, who else shows up? Who he grew up
with? Nala.
Nala.
Boom. DJ King Kong. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
I can watch that movie all day long.
That's right. Nala shows up, and they're batting their eyes at each other. The sun is setting. Can you feel the love tonight? Right? They're rolling around in the grass, right?
Right.
So much fun. They're having a great time, aren't they? I always cover my kids' eyes when that scene comes up. I'm like, you guys can't watch. It's like, yeah, it's lions. I'm like, you can't watch. But there's that one scene where they look like they're going in for a kiss. It's a little weird. You remember that scene? They're like, that's good. Anyway.
Yeah.
She shows up. Right, and they're rolling around and stuff, and then she's like, Simba, it's good to see you, but you gotta come back with me. He's like, why? Because Scar's taking over everything. He's like, nah, I'm staying here. Hakuna Matata. She's like, maybe I didn't make myself clear. Scar's taking over everything, and if you don't come back, everyone is going to die, and you're responsible. And you know what he says then? Hakuna Matata, I'm staying right here. And she's like, I can't believe you. When are you going to grow up? He's like, you're beginning to sound like my dad. She goes, at least one of us does. And you know what she does? She leaves. Wait a minute. I thought a minute ago you were rolling around in the grass, falling in love together. Because what she's really telling him is, why won't he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside? When are you going to grow up and be a man, a lion? You know what I mean? When are you going to see the greatness in you that your father saw in you and that I see in you? You think greatness is lounging around in a jacuzzi all day with Pumbaa and Timon, whatever you want? Most of us wake up every day and want to be successful. We want to be rich. Why? Because I could have a big house and I could sit in a jacuzzi and do whatever I want. That is not a life.
No,
that is
not
a life. You know, Winston Churchill had an amazing quote. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Right. Boom, Winston Churchill, there it is. And Simba's left alone there. Nala leaves him. He's sitting alone. Rafiki shows up, hits him in the head. He sees the reflection in the thing of his father. Remember who you are. He goes back, defeats Scar, and it becomes the biggest animated movie of all time. Not because we like movies with lions. Because when you see Simba climb that rock at the end, he's showing us a vision of greatness. And greatness is one thing, waking up every day and saying, how can I serve humanity? How can I take responsibility for the world?
Yes.
And where do we take responsibility for the world? Wherever in life we have the ability to respond. You see, the word responsibility is an ability. Wherever, if I have the ability to respond, I'm responsible. I wake up every day and say, you know, anytime I walk into a room with another human being, I have a responsibility to make an impact, to uplift, to help, to empathize. You know, I started this podcast a couple of months back called Life of Awesome. And every week I share one idea and I bring in movie lines and movie quotes. And I love taking movies and sharing wisdom from them. And I urge your listeners, go check out the podcast. Share it with your family and friends. I talk about parenting, relationships, marriage, career, self-help, anything, just so we can grow as human beings. And I really think at the end of the day, to wake up every day with purpose, like you guys are talking about. We're here for a purpose.
Purpose, yes.
And as much as I shared with you guys that I had this purpose to become a Disney animator, that was only the means. That's just the mean to an end. Anyone in life have the ability to respond. We're responsible. We can make a difference. If you're listening to this right now, and maybe your dream job, I mean, I hear this all the time from people. My dream was to become a Disney animator, but, you know, I never found out where to go to school. And now I have this job, whatever. And I'm like, are you providing for your kids? Yeah. Then that's a life of greatness. Who said you have to have greatness by working in movies? Anybody that wakes up, and anyone's listening right now, if you wake up and you have anyone out there that looks to you and you're responsible for that person, you are a king. You are a queen.
That's good.
That's purpose. That's a life of meaning. Tramell, I thank you so much for having me on this incredible podcast you guys are doing. I can't wait to hear more of your episodes.
Most
I hope you stay in touch with me, brother.
Yes,
and,
most definitely.
Let's continue to connect. Thanks for all your uplifting optimism, encouragement. Thanks for inviting me. And I also want to thank all your listeners. If you're listening to this, again, like I said at the beginning, I really thank you for being here, for listening and tuning in. I urge you to share Tramell and DJ King Kong's podcast with your friends, your family. You know, when you hear something, when you taste something, you got to share it with people you care about. So please share this incredible podcast, Here for a Purpose Radio Podcast. It's incredible. I'm going to share it with my friends and my family. And I thank you so much, Tramell.
Thank you. Can we just give a round of applause to Mr. Saul Blinkoff real quickly? Come on. Come on. We can do a little bit better than that.
Yes, sir.
Like, he gave us a lot of nuggets, you guys. Like, hopefully that you had your pen and your paper and was writing everything. I'm telling you, because I don't know about nobody else. Like, it really hit me, especially when you were talking about, he was talking about how you took the initiative of knowing, like, you gave up. Like, at that moment, you gave up. And it's okay to actually give up. Like, it is okay to give up, but also to go and ask somebody why. The question, the answer is why.